Today is October 1. I cannot believe how fast this year is going by. You what?
The accelerator's down.
Boy, it is. It's down and it's at full throttle. Yeah. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. And sometimes they accelerate. When I was going over this morning's scripture, I like to title something, so I wasn't sure how to title it, but if you read through the complete text this morning in one sitting, you're going to realize it's talking about the last days. And so I titled it, The Last Days. Now, action has to be based on knowledge. There's too many people, and that includes Christians, they're in there too. They're like the pilot of a ship that informs all his passengers. He says, you know, I got to tell you this, we're lost, but we're making good time. There's no reason for any Christian to be lost because we have the Bible. That's God's guidebook for us, and we know which way to go. A little bit of our discussion last week was on walking the road, and you got forks to the left, forks to the right, and we have to make decisions because we run into obstacles. What do we do when we encounter a roadblock? I mean, you can't go forward. There is no road to the left. There is no road to the right. Reminded me when I brought that thought into my mind of the nation of Israel. When they came up to the Red Sea, they had the Red Sea in front of them. And they had Pharaoh's army behind them. And they had these high walls on either side of them. And what did they do? What did they think? They were afraid, Scripture says, and they wished that they were back in Egypt. You believe it? 400 years they were slaves in Egypt, and they wished they were back in Egypt. But their leader, Moses, what did he say to them? And I like that verse. It's in Exodus 14, verse 13. He looked at them and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But isn't that pretty much how we respond sometimes? When we got the Red Sea in front of us, and we got Pharaoh behind us, and we got no way to turn left, right. And what do we say then? Are we like Elijah? When he crawled under the broom tree and he looked up at God and says, it's enough, Lord, take my life. I'm all alone. He gave up. He had just performed God's work up on Mount Carmel. Called down fire from heaven. And he gives up now. He stopped trusting in the Lord. When the going gets tough, I mean really tough, how many stop trusting God? It's so easy to trust God when the road is smooth, when times are good. when the land is plentiful. I should have looked up this other scripture. It's in Habakkuk. It's a good scripture. Somebody will find it while I'm talking. But Elijah was not alone. He thought he was. Timothy is not alone. The young preacher we're reading about now. You are not alone either. Open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where we're going. And the emphasis on chapter 3 is on knowledge and responsibility. See, with knowledge comes responsibility. There's no sense in having knowledge if you just stuff it in your mind and leave it there. So we have responsibility after that. And Paul, he's going to inform us of the character of these last days. And then he's going to instruct us on how to respond. I'm going to read half a book here. Let's see. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. He says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away." I can't believe that list. Now the last days, you've heard, have you heard that term a lot? Yeah. It began when Jesus was on the earth doing his ministry. Hebrews tells us that. And it's going to continue until he returns. So we're in this long period of the last days. Did you find that scripture? Yeah? You know the one I'm talking about? I think so. Can you read it? Oh, you lost it. Who has it? Read it out loud. Yeah. Yeah. See, he didn't lose faith in God. He's saying, if I lose everything, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And that's what Job said. Job said, "I came into this world naked, I'm going to go out naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When Jesus was teaching, his disciples thought the end of this age was very near because they looked at him and they asked him this question, saying privately, they didn't want to say it too loud, "Tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" And then he goes through the whole Matthew 24. Read it. It's fabulous. It's revelation in a condensed form. But because Jesus delayed coming, he didn't come right away. How many people today even scoff at his coming? He will come as he's promised. And Paul tells Timothy it's coming. And in these days, perilous times are going to come. So I wanted to pick up on that word perilous a little bit, because the Authorized Version uses grievous times are coming. Grievous meaning causing grief or suffering. But that's not a very good rendering of the verse. A lot of translations use perilous, which means full of risk or hazardous or exposed to immediate destruction. And in a lot of places, that's a good translation. But right here, when Paul was talking, even that's a little too restrictive. Because we're going to go through a whole lot of hard times where our life isn't in immediate danger of being taken. So the sense of the scripture is more like we're going through some difficult times, trying times, uneasy times. There are times when we hardly know which way to turn. And I was talking about the road, and sometimes a left road and a right road or a crossroad. And it's going to get to the point where we have to make a decision, left, right, straight ahead, and we can't just stand there for the next 3 weeks waiting to hear that still small voice. Because the days and the times are going to be dangerous. And maybe you're leading your family like Moses was leading the Israelites. And you have to make a decision right now. So, right now is the time to get your relationship with the Lord in order. And get your communication with Him. Get used to listening to Him. Get used to hearing His voice. That's small, still whisper. Because when it gets to these perilous times, He's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you. But if you're not used to listening to Him, you won't hear Him. There's going to be, in these last days, different kinds of seasons. And as this times draws to an end, they get more dangerous. They get harder to deal with. Even savage times. There's a word, savage. It's the same Greek word that was used to describe the demons in Gadara. When Jesus came out and He met that man, or two men, that had demons in them, and He cast them out and they went into the pigs. Same word. Now, to me, that suggests that the violence that's going to happen in these last days is demonic driven. And Ephesians tells us we don't fight against each other. We fight against demons, demonic forces in high places. And if you've read the last book, you know the Antichrist is filled with the devil. So it's Satan that's driven. Look at Timothy 1. We already went through Timothy 1, chapter 4. It says, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The demonic world is going to start attacking the believers more and more as time goes on, is what Paul's saying here. Now, there's absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind that this began in Paul's day, or he wouldn't be speaking of it. And it has increased in intensity now. And it's not just because there's more people in the world. Or we have better news coverage. Everyone but me can pull out their cell phone and look at the news. You laugh. You know I have an old flip phone. But it's not that reason. Evil is getting deeper and intensifying, and it's being accepted and promoted by society in a bold way. And it's not just little pockets here and there. All society is agitated, and it's rebelling against God. And so, Paul, knowing this back then, gives us three instructions to obey. And if we follow the instructions, our ministry would be effective, even in these perilous times, these trying times, these dangerous times. The first thing he said, I already read it, turn away from these people. Have nothing to do with them. These people operate under the guise of religion. They look religious, but they're rebellious. They have never experienced the power of God in their lives. Paul goes on in verse 6, he says, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come up to the knowledge of the truth." Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Just because Paul used the term gullible women, he's not suggesting all women are like this. He's also not suggesting that men aren't vulnerable to these wiles of these false teachers. Doesn't matter whether men, whether women, if they fall for these false religious teachers, they all have the same characteristics. They seem to be burdened with guilt inside, and they're looking for some escape from the fear that's tormenting them. And they're reaching for the truth, but they're trying this approach and they're trying that approach, and they keep going from one to the other, and they're never satisfied. And that type of person is fair game for this cultus. And these false religious teachers, they take advantage of the problems people have. And they promise them, oh, quick, easy solution. And the way Paul words it here, they worm their way in and soon control you. You know who Jannes and Jambres were? Yes? No? They were two magicians that stood with Pharaoh when Moses was trying to lead the people out and convince Pharaoh to let them go. And Moses would cast down his staff and it became a serpent. Well, these two magicians did the same thing. They cast their staff down and it became a serpent. And Moses had frogs come out and they did the same thing. They had frogs come out of the river. They were opposing Moses by imitating what he did. And so it didn't look like it was any big deal. That's no miracle from God. These guys could do it. Well, if you read the whole thing in Exodus, they couldn't do it all. But that's what Satan is. He's an imitator. And he's very good at it. He's a counterfeit. And so these religious leaders in the last days are going to have this counterfeit faith. Their purpose is to promote a lie and to resist the truth of God. They deny the authority of the Bible, and they substitute it with human wisdom and philosophy. In an attempt to be modern with the world, they deny the reality of sin. And there's no need for people to have a need for salvation. And in verse 8, Paul uses the word reprobate, in the King James Version anyway. He uses that to describe them. And that means they've been tested and found counterfeit. Then there's a second thing that he says. He says, follow those that are true. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, he says. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. With persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me, he says. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So we know ahead of time we're going to suffer persecution. Not from God. We will suffer from man. I listened to an interesting radio station over the weekend and had a guest speaker on there talking about the wrath of God and the great tribulation. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that say, we're going to go through the great tribulation. Well, we're going to go through tribulation, yes. That's man's wrath. We are not going to go through the great tribulation. That's God's wrath. That's in Revelation. It's important during difficult days that we follow the right spiritual leaders. And you can tell them because their lives are open book. They have nothing to hide. Look at Paul. He had nothing to hide. Timothy lived with him and labored with him and ministered with him. And he knew him well. And when Paul used that term, my doctrine, it's not Paul's doctrine. The verse means the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he was teaching. The true faith. So no matter how appealing a preacher may seem, if he doesn't preach the truth of God's word, leave. Don't go there. There's so many on the radio and on the television today, pseudo-Christianity, I call it, because it's a mixture of psychology and success motivational speaking and personality cults, and then they throw in their little tidbits of the Bible once in a while to make it look religious. And so Paul says, beware. Because a true preacher will practice what he preaches. That's why Paul brought up my manner of life. That backed up what he preached. He didn't preach sacrifice and then he lived in luxury. He gave to others far more than he ever received. He stood up for the truth, even if it meant losing friends, and we know even when it cost him his life, he never faltered from the truth. A true preacher's purpose is to glorify God, not to get glory. And there was never any question about Paul's purpose. All he wanted to do was God's will and finish the work that God gave him to do. And he was a man of faith. He trusted God to meet his needs. He was a man of long suffering. He held up under all these attacks. And we know he was a man of love because he willingly gave himself to serve other people. And he gives a final warning in verse 13 to the end. He says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, not all of us are going to be able to be like Paul in every aspect of life. But there's one thing he said that we can do. We can continue in God's word no matter what. Because the only way to defeat Satan is with God's truth. Every single time when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he responded with, it is written. Evil men and deceivers are going to get worse and worse, and they're going to lead more and more astray. And in these last days, that even counts from now until Jesus comes, there's going to be more deception, there's going to be more imitation. And the only way that we are going to be able to tell the truth from the false is by knowing the Word of God. If you know what God says, then you can tell what the preacher says, if it's the truth or if it's false. The purpose of studying the Bible is not just to understand Scripture. I mean, that's good. I wish I understood it better. But it's to equip us to do the work of God. So anyone that's read through the whole book to the end knows things are not going to get better. And we must separate ourselves from that which is false. And we must devote ourselves to that which is true. And continue in the study of God's word. And then God can equip us for his ministry in these tough days. And he will give us the joy of seeing others come to the knowledge of the truth. This morning is the Lord's table. And I need someone to bring the upstairs Christians down. Thank you, Josiah. Now, I know it sounds gloomy. This isn't a gloomy message here. This is actually joy. Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Yeah, I like that. Because we know he's coming back. Yay! Yay, here we go. Thank you for helping me today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence in our lives, Lord. We know things are winding down, just like you used the term birth pains before a woman gives birth. They get stronger and longer, and so the times that are happening will get stronger, longer, more evil. But you go before us. And you told us that whenever we get together, to remember you. And that's what we're doing this morning, Lord. We remember you. Because on that last day, you sat down with the disciples and you took bread and you lifted up your eyes to heaven, broke and blessed the bread, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body that will be broken for you." And we do that now today. And then when supper was ended, he took the cup and he gave thanks and blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that will be shed for you. Drink it, all of you, and remember me." I was watching a show last night movie. And somebody asked, why would Jesus willingly go to the cross and die when he had all the power not to? And the reply, love. He loved us so much. That was the only way he could free us from sin. Thank you, Lord. May we walk in your light, Lord. May we continue to trust you. No matter what man does to us, Lord, we know you are with us and protecting us, and we will never die. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. You going home?
No, I never got a hook.
Hey, hi, honey. You look nice today.
Thank you. So, I heard the good seal up there.
Yeah, there is some. Would you like that? Okay. In the kitchen on the counter, there's a little baggie it came in. Mm-hmm. Put them back in the baggie. Thank you. Hey, I got one. I did. Hi, Pat. Hey, Judy.
Hello.
Hi. Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to be seen.
Yeah.
Wish I was seeing Terlene.
Maybe next week then.
Yeah.
I think she'll be over it.
So I still need.
Okay, you can have them. Hi. How are you?
So tired.
You're tired? In the top?
Or is it in the top?
Yeah.
I've already looked in two.
Well, I think it's the middle cupboard. Apparently, I'm lost without my other half. I didn't put plates out.
Halfway done.
Yeah, half baked.
I didn't say that.
Oh, wait a minute. I was still recording that one. I'm going to delete.